crack, moo crack, zimba dooba dooba, moo crack.
Let's do it.
Oh, all right. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to an episode of Brew Crack. It seems like this is the first one we've done in a hot minute. It's been a busy time around the farm, the warehouse. We just finished up a barley harvest on our own farm in Ireland. So we've been a bit distracted, but today we've got a guest that I've personally been excited to talk to today. And we've got Anke Sulleberg from Indie Hops. And then we've got our own marketing guru, Philip Koss, with us. And I guess the theme today is all things Indie Hops. We've had Jim, one of the founders, on from Indie Hops before, but today we wanted to kind of dive into a little different direction with the Indie Hops story and tell a different bit of the company and kind of what they've got going on. So Anke, I'll let you introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you and Indie Hops.
Yeah, well, thanks, Will. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to share a little bit about Indie Hops and what we're up to. My name is Anke. I am on point for marketing efforts here at Indie Hops. And that's a bit of a relatively new thing for us. We've really relied quite a bit on our product to speak for itself, and we're continuing to be focused on that, but we're kind of entering a new phase where we are launching new hops into the market, and they're hops that people seem to enjoy brewing with, and so we're excited to tell a little bit more of the behind the scenes story of how we go about developing our hops and getting the hops into the market.
So one thing I've noticed that you guys are really good at is branding your varieties and making and using the images, or almost creating a logo for a hop variety. Which I think is really cool. And I remember one of the first introductions to myself to Strata was this really cool image of a vinyl LP with the Strata logo. And for me, that really spoke to the name Indie Hops, because you've got this like indie record label thing with this new hop, and you're kind of branding it that way. And for myself, it's kind of a vinyl junkie. Like first time I've smelled Strata at CBC, that's the thing that jumped out to me. So like, how are you guys approaching that? Like when maybe naming a hop or trying to create what I think is unique in the hop world, a brand around a hop and something that's identifiable with that hop. What's kind of the approach there?
Yeah, I mean, it's really quite organic. First of all, as we're developing hops, Jim and Matt, they're conducting the sensory on the hop, right? So they have really spent probably the most amount of time with that hop from a sensory perspective and understanding how that hop brews in beer, how it smells on the dry rub, what it smells like fresh in the field, how it pelletizes, and so on. And so really the way that it starts is just knowing the hop and the character, the flavor profile of the hop, and just sitting with it and really thinking about what does that hop bring about. And so we come up with flavor descriptors. We've got those first, right? Whether it's for Strata, for example, wafting cannabis, strawberry, and whether or not we have those components. And then it comes with just tossing around names for the hop and really thinking about, okay, what does this hop represent? And with Strata, for example, it has so many different layers of flavor, and that's how the name came about. It's, all of those layers of flavor in that hop. And then from there, it's thinking about just the fact that, you know, we think about music genres and we kind of add a little tag on there of a music genre just to continue to give that hop depth and character. And like you said, music is so important, right, to all of us. And it just ties and just kind of brings that hop to life in a unique way.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's fantastic. Like I said, it's something that I think is unique in the hop industry, and it really fits in with the name Indie Hops, that you are trying to tie it back to this idea of music and like being in the moment and taking elements that may not necessarily be a smell or a taste, but relating it back to that.
Absolutely.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Drinking beer is something that involves all the senses, especially when you're with good friends and whatnot. So I guess like the main reason we had, I think we wanted to have you on here today is to talk about what seems to be a pretty cool documentary project you guys have been working on. To relate back both to brewers and consumers, what it actually takes to take an unknown plant that we don't have a name for, we don't know what it smells like yet. All we know is that it's bred with this variety and this variety at some point, and then like bring that into the world and hopefully make people's lives better by it being there. So like,
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about the documentary. When can we have it out? Like, what's the story that it tells?
Yeah, sure. So when we embarked on the documentary, we were really coming from the perspective of thinking about, like you were talking about, friends coming together, just having a beer, and driving force in the flavor of beer. And they've just become so, I wonder if anyone would ever be interested in learning about how that flavor got into their beer and how that hop was born. And so we really were thinking about the idea of, you know, we've heard of like field to ferment or bind a beer. And we thought, well, let's take it a step further in that process and let's take it back to the seed, right? In the origination and the DNA of that hop. And so we called our documentary Seed to Sip, A New Hop is Born. And so it's really that concept of here's the seed, here's how the hop originated, and that endpoint of that flavor in the beer. And it's really been just a fun process. And I think when you traditionally maybe think about hops and how it comes to be, really obviously a big part of developing a new hop is taking a female plant, pollinating it with male pollen, getting it to generate offspring, harvesting the seeds and planting those out. And that's really the first step in the development process. But then you have all these other steps along the way that really take a long time. With hops, you're dealing with an agricultural product. So it's a product that you have one harvest each year. And in Oregon, hops, you plant them in the spring, there's an establishment year, and then you wait a year to harvest the hops and to really figure out what that hop does. And so it's a long process, and we're really excited to be in that fun phase of launching new hops into the market. We started in 2009 and our Strata was launched in 2018. So when you're looking at hop development, 9 years is pretty quick. So we're just pinching ourselves that happened in that time frame. But yeah, but when we're looking at the documentary, we take everyone through the different steps. So you've got the breeding of the hops, which really has to do with breeding hops for a wide variety of things. The first thing that we're looking for is genetic diversity. So we're wanting to take a hop from here, a hop from here, breed them, because you just don't know where that exciting flavor and aroma is going to come from. And from there, we're also focusing on breeding hops that have natural disease and pest resistance. Through our breeding efforts, looking forward to the fact that we have a changing climate. And so really looking at breeding hops that will be adept at handling heat or less water, things of that nature. So we start there with the breeding, but then from there, those hops are sent up to us here at Indie Hops, and we conduct sensory evaluation on a ton of different hops, about 150 new genotypes every year. And from there, we pick a handful and decide what to plan out in advance series. And it's still a long process from there. We continue to evaluate hops at the advanced nurseries and continue to get a better sense of how hops do in a commercial setting. And from there, we take those hops and once they're harvested, work with brewing customers to do pilot brews on the hops.
Just listening to that story about the hop gauntlet, it's not just as simple as you just you guys just decide you're going to have a new hop. And from conversations I've had with Jim and Matt, a lot of this research is driven through Oregon State University. Am I correct in that?
Yeah. So the way that we're set up, when Jim and Roger founded Indie Hops back in 2009, they approached Oregon State University and basically designed and we fund the program, the Aroma Hop Breeding Program that is located there at Oregon State, to conduct hop breeding for us. And so we have a hop breeding scientist, Sean Townsend, who is on point there at Oregon State University, that is conducting the hop breeding portion of the program. So he is working there to do crosses. We also have greenhouses located there, and all of our experimental hop fields are located there. And he's really looking at the agronomy aspect of all of the hops that we are potentially going to launch into the market. So he's really looking at things like pickability, yield, disease, and pest resistance, and just that looking forward to how hops will do in a changing climate as well.
And like, I mean, obviously a lot of research is going into this. How many, and then a lot of research is going into it, and I'm sure there are a lot of genotypes that get looked at every year. Like, how many in a standard year? What would Jim and Matt and Roger be doing? Like, how many genotypes would they be evaluating on sensory on a yearly basis?
Yeah. So once Sean has determined that hops pass his agronomy test, that's kind of the first, in the documentary, we talk about this hop gauntlet. And once they pass Sean's agronomy test, then those hops are sent up to us for evaluation. And Jim and Matt evaluate about 150 new potential hop varieties every fall. So they, you know, behind me on the table back there, they have these little bags of hops. And they get out their little notebooks and they take notes on every variety. And basically they start with the dry rub. So it's the same thing that brewers go through when they're evaluating hops at selection. And they'll take the hops and smell them and they'll write a bunch of notes. And it's pretty funny listening to some of the descriptors that Jim comes up with and talks about, because you can have some really beautiful smelling hops, and then there are also some really nasty smells that come out of hops. So they do that over the course of a couple months, and from there they select about a third of those to then dry hop in beer, so they can get a better sense of what this hop will do in beer. And they are pretty good about not sharing their notes and not really talking with each other about what they're seeing. They don't want to kind of taint each other's perspective on the hop. And then they come together at the end of that process and they choose a handful of hops that they feel might be commercially viable. So what they're looking for, sometimes you'll have a hop that is a really, really nice hop, but that flavor profile is already in the market, and so there's no need to advance a hop like that. So it just really depends on really knowing what's in the marketplace, really knowing how a hop might brew, and they advance those hops to continue on to the next phase.
So changing subjects a little bit, first of all, that documentary is going to be out very soon. It's going to give all of our customers and hopefully beer consumers a little bit more insight into it. And we'll make sure that we share the documentary and the people that use Strata at the end of the day, who are our customers combined, that they share it to tell the beer drinker what the story is behind all this stuff. But just changing subjects a little bit, we're pretty lucky to have a little bit of your bandwidth today, because it is a very busy time in the Willamette Valley. I know that we just wrapped up barley harvest, and I know how crazy things are for people on our farm, for people running the barley kiln, and even for our marketing guys like Philip and Joan. So it's busy for everybody. So we're pretty proud to have you here today, taking time out of your, am I frozen? Oh, I'm back. Oh, we're pretty proud to have you here, taking time out of your day for us. How's hop harvest going? What's everything looking like?
It's always so exciting. It's just like this fun time of year. It's kind of like we build up to it every year. It's going really, really well. I know that people have expressed concerns about, we have this crazy heat dome that we've never had before. What is it looking like now? Given the heat dome we've had in the past, we've had smoke concerns. But this year we're super excited because really the varieties that we are looking at haven't been affected by that heat dome. And thankfully, we haven't had any smoke issues this year, and hopefully that stays at bay. So hop harvest for us started a little bit earlier this year, maybe about 5 days earlier than we had projected, and we feel that that's probably partially due to how hot it has been. But the hops, the Strata harvest for us here in the Willamette Valley is all in. And the hops look great. I mean, they smell great. It's just been a beautiful hop. We also have some Strata growing up in the Yakima Valley, and they started harvesting that yesterday. So it's looking really good. It's smelling really good. And we're fortunate to be working with some amazing growers that do such a beautiful job for us year after year.
You said that Strata is growing in Yakima now. Are you guys noticing any terroir differences there? Are we finding that it's pretty consistent from Willamette up to Yakima?
Yeah, so we are based here in Oregon, right? So our hops are bred here in Oregon, and so it did take few years for Strata to establish itself up there in Yakima. It's just a a very different growing region. However, it did really just kind of stabilize and find its nice spot. And the character development up there is really, really nice. And we're seeing that it's just a hop that does, it has a lot of vigor, has a lot of natural disease resistance. And so in, you know, both places, both terroirs, it's really doing quite well and having consistency and character, which is something that in our breeding efforts, we're always looking for. We don't want to launch a hop into the market that isn't going to deliver that consistent character for brewers.
Right. Right. And it's one thing that I noticed that there are some hops specifically, I mean, the ones that come to mind, Cascade, Chinook, Amarillo, really take on the terroir. And like, yes. you can tell Oregon Cascade from Washington Cascade, and you can tell Oregon Amarillo from Washington Amarillo, which sometimes is really cool. Like you can be like, yeah. Okay, I want my Amarillo to come from Oregon because it's got this huge Mandarin orange and peach thing going on rather than the more grapefruit side of things that the Washington Amarillo would have. But it's really cool on the other hand to have a hop that's going to be pretty consistent no matter where it's grown, which yeah. seems like that's where Strata is heading. But I guess related to all this, there is a new kid on the block, a new hop that I hear now has an official name. Can we talk about that now?
Yes, let's do
okay,
it.
Okay, sweet. Yeah. So why don't you tell us about that? I think this is the first time we've told anyone what the name of this hop is. So yeah. Take it away.
So we are super excited to be launching a new lager hop that we are calling Lorien. And it is a hop that when we're thinking about what do we call this hop? It's a lager hop that's really well suited to a beer that you can just drink all day long. It's a hop that just brings a really nice hop character to a beer that lends itself to just having a long time. So we thought of the magical land of the elves from the Lord of the Rings. And we thought, you know, it's all about merrymaking. It's all about just getting together and having a good time with your friends. It's got this really light flavor profile, but at the same time, it has such a clean finish that it, you know, you want to grab another beer and have some more. And so we're sort of a hoppy beer hop. And then we've got the other spectrum here now with Lorien. That's a lager hop that kind of is a new take.
Well, it's not something you get every day to have a lager hop come out of the Pacific Northwest. Like, I think that's kind of a cool story to be able to do that. And I've had a couple of beers so far with what at the time was IH033 that were just absolutely fantastic. A few beers we've had, the guys at Daya, our friends over in the UK, have absolutely fallen in love with that hop, which brings us around to another cool bit of conversation. We've got a couple of Indie Hops collabs coming up, and I think it's going to be the earliest that a Crop Year's hops have made it to anywhere outside of America. Those beers are going to be, we've got a collab with Daya in the UK and a collab with Wylam in the UK, one using Crop 21 Strata, one using Crop 21 Lorien, and like, those hops are going to be here ready to be brewed with 3 weeks after they were still on the vine, which I think is a pretty fantastic story to be able to tell. Now for you guys, creator, maybe a hop inventor, how important is it for you guys to have breweries latch on to new stuff like that and want to pull off cool projects of how fast can we get these hops here and brew something as fresh as possible?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think it's really important, right? The thing that stands out about the craft brewing industry to me is the passion that brewers bring to their craft. And they are just so excited about brewing a beer that is going to get into the hands of their customers and having it be the best product possible. And so for us to be able to get the freshest ingredient into their hands is really important. And I think that that's one of the reasons why you as a distributor and working closely with you is so important, because you're a key aspect in that flavor process for us of partnering up. We're set up to receive the hops that are harvested quickly. We have our own pellet mill to process those hops and then to be able to get them over to you guys so that brewers can start playing around with them right away is just a really exciting and cool thing to be a part of.
And I think I saw an email from Jim this morning that he's over to fire up the mill today to get those pellets ready. Am I right?
Yeah, he's over there and our mill crew is just plugging away and they just do a great job of getting those pellets just right. And getting them packaged and sealed up and ready to put on a plane and get over to you guys.
Well, it may not be a very carbon footprint friendly, but it's definitely kind of cool to be able to be able to have hops in the UK literally 3 weeks after they were growing. It's something that we're proud to work.
Got to give people what you want, what they want.
Yeah. I
got to give
so.
People what they want. Yeah.
So we've got Lorien that's officially released with its rock star name this year. What's coming next? Like, certainly there's another guy in the pipeline.
Yeah, the thing is that we're in this exciting phase where we have a full pipeline of hops that we have evaluated and that we've advanced through our program. And this year with our harvest, in the spring, we planted out a new hop that we're excited and we're getting ready to launch commercially next year. And that hop is IH002. It's a, we're moving back from the lager hop spectrum back into the more hoppy beer hop. And it's a hop that lends Jim describes it as liquid sunshine, and it's got really nice peach characteristics, like a peach lemonade, orange peel to it. And it just lends it's like you're drinking a cocktail in the Caribbean. It's just got those really bright tropical fruit flavors. And so it brings a lot of brightness to beer. And we're excited to go ahead and launch that next fall.
If it's anything like you just described, I think our customers are going to love it. Like people can't get enough of hop forward flavors. I was looking through today on a brewer's forum on social media. And over the past 3 years, this forum seems to have turned from general discussion of sometimes people will ask about malt, sometimes people will ask about yeast. It's every topic on the board is hops. And it's all focused towards that, which is, I think, a good thing for all of us. Hops are great.
The cool thing too, Will, is that I think as the craft market is evolving, as brewers are continuing to do new styles of beer, as they're experimenting with hop flavors in beer, I think that there are definitely pockets of consumers that maybe think that they don't like beer. But, you taste, for example, a beer that is brewed with Lorien, for example, and you're like, oh, it's got that subtle hop flavor, but it's not overpowering. So it might capture the attention of a consumer who maybe would have gone toward a seltzer. But now they're discovering that, ooh, I kind of like this flavor in beer. And so it's just really fun to see what brewers are doing and how they're bringing out new flavors in beer.
Well, that brings me a little bit into it because I'm very new in the industry.
Yeah.
And this flavor of hops and beers and when I'm discovering new amazing hops, it grows on you like music. You know, sometimes you hear a really cool song, but first time you hear it, you're kind of like, oh, that's not a bad tune. But then you hear it the second time and it's like, oh my God, this song's getting better. And then eventually you just can't like stop listening to it. And it's more of a comment than what we talked about earlier as well about the relationship you have with your hops, that it's so long and amazing. And then at the end of it, you manage to put that perfect name on it. And that just shows, I think, just the intimacy with the hop. And the hardest thing in music is to figure out a name for a band. But when you do it and when you do it and it's the right one and you know it, and it's just, it's mind blowing. And same with, like, I mean, Strata, for example, and Lorien, I haven't tasted that yet, but I am so excited to taste it.
It's definitely, we feel like we're, you know, we have a relationship with these hops, right? We've been living with them for so long and we have tasted the flavor in so many iterations. And so it is really exciting when a name is tossed out and we sit with it for a while and we're like, damn, that's it. You know, this really hits the nail on the head. And it's exciting too, when brewers then get that hop, they like the name and they just take it to a whole nother level, right? And put their own spin on it, which is really, I think, what's so fun about the craft industry.
Well, switching subjects again, like I keep coming up with these different things that I want to talk to you about as we're going on. I think that one thing that is often overlooked in the hop industry is how important the actual piece of land and the farm and the people that grow Strata and the people that grow Lorien and the people that grow Meridian, how important they are to the entire operation. And at the end of the day, Indie Hops isn't a farm. Indie Hop is a hop developer and a processor of hops that other people grow under license. I've noticed that two of the key farms you guys use, and two fantastic farms that I've been a fan of for ages, are Goshi Farms and Coleman Agriculture. How important are those relationships? What's the give and take there? How do they help you to build a hop brand? Just talk about that. I don't even know the exact question I want to ask.
Part of, I think, what's really unique about Indie Hops is, like you said, we're not a farm, right? We're developers and suppliers of new hop flavors and existing hop flavors. And when we started Indie Hops, right away we knew, well, shoot, we need growers to grow the hops for us. And so when we were down, Jim and Roger were down at Oregon State and looking at hop breeding efforts, they met Gail Goshi of Goshi Farms and really connected with her right away. Gail is a leader in sustainability in many ways. So she was the first grower in the nation to embrace the Salmon Safe, just the message, and the first one to be certified in Salmon Safe. And she has in a lot of ways taken steps to be a leader in sustainability. And shortly after we met her, we contacted John Coleman of Coleman Agriculture and established a relationship with them. And they are a farm that continues to take steps to improve every year what they're doing and how they're growing the hops. And they are key partners in the process of us getting the hops into the market in a quality manner. So our relationship with the farms is for every variety that we sell into the market, whether it's an indie hops variety or whether it's a public variety, we contract the farm to grow a specific amount of acreage. And we work closely with the farm on everything from propagation. So if it's an indie hops variety, we manage the propagation of it and actually have a company here locally that does the cell cuttings to make sure that we're getting disease-free stock. And then we work with a farm here that does the propagation for us. So we are relying on the farm to do what they do best, right? Which is growing the hops and continually improving on their farm practices. And then we've come alongside them to really bring our expertise, which has a lot to do with the sensory aspect, right? So I think one of the things that is unique about how we work with our farm partners is Jim and Matt are in the fields, especially 2 weeks leading up to hop harvest. Didn't see much of Jim because he was in the fields evaluating those hops from a sensory standpoint. So we really work closely with them and are bringing that brewer's perspective of sensory, right? What is the brewer looking for in this hop? How will it brew the best? And so we work with them to kind of help determine that harvest schedule. And we, you know, they truly are partners. We work so closely together with them. And for Coleman Agriculture and Goshi Farms, they are also involved in our hop development efforts. So part of the process that we go through as we're evaluating a new hop is we take it from an experimental field at Oregon State University to planning it out in a commercial setting. So they're really helping us look at hops from a grower's perspective as well. Those things are key. It's a huge operation. And one of the things that we've done recently from a marketing standpoint is we've switched over our taglines from Oregon Bread to Flavor Project. And, you know, part of the reasoning behind that is the breeding of hops is a big part of it, right? But it is one aspect of it. And like we were talking about, the growers play a big role in it. The sensors that are involved in the pilot brewing of these hops play a big role in it. And then you as distributors to get what we're doing here at home into the hands of brewers in your market is key. And so we went ahead and decided that we're going to call it the Flavor Project. It really is about getting the best quality flavor and really arming brewers with captivating hop flavors so that they can then turn it around and make consumers happy, right? And we're consumers, so we benefit hugely from that process. And, you know, one of the things that stands out to me is one of our growers, Gail Goshi, was talking about that she as a grower is in the fields growing the hops. She's taking all the steps that she takes in that complicated process. And so she's part of crafting craft beer, right, as a grower. And I think that we all in the process are part of that process, which is pretty fun.
Oh, no, it shows. And I just really, I think it's genius that these words, one or two brand like Flavor Project, it just hits home to me, especially just so well. It's perfect. Like that's one of the hardest. I always have a huge trouble with coming up with the right words. So who comes up? Who's the genius that comes up with these little taglines and the naming? Who gets the final say? Who gets the final say? Or is it a team effort?
I think it's really a team effort that we just kind of bounce around. Jim is really good at coming up with the hop names. He really sits and just thinks about it for a long time. And we have a lot of conversation back and forth when it comes to naming the hop. When it comes to Indie Hops, our company name, it was really Jim and Roger at the beginning that were really talking about what who are we, you know, and what are we trying to do? And the word that stuck out was independent. So we really came on the scene into a market that had a lot of established suppliers and growers. And so we really resonated with that aspect of the craft brewing industry, right? Where all of a sudden you've got all these brewers that are independent, right? That are kind of blazing their own trail and doing it their own way. And so really those independent craft brewers were our inspiration, but we kind of had to shorten it to make it a little bit easier to say. So we came up with Indie, and it kind of ties into that creative element that you're talking about. And then for Flavor Project, it was just, you know, really a discussion that you know, Jim and Roger and I had about what do we do, right? And it really is a project where you have a lot of experts and a lot of individuals that are doing what they do best and are all kind of inputting into just bringing a quality product to the market.
Yeah, but that's like half the battle is won when you can tell your customers your whole personality in with your brand, and you don't even have, you know, you just have this word, it's perfect, it has a bit of a reference, and that's when even half the battle is won just there off the cuff when you just say, oh, indie hops, and everyone knows already what it's about, what the personality is, and you know what they're to expect from it. So I think that's just amazing, like a genius marketing perspective.
It's been fun.
Well, I think the most important thing to remember is that soon we all get new hats that say Flavor Project and say Oregon Bread, and we all get new t-shirts that say Flavor Project, and so do our customers. Because, you know, I think one thing we've all learned about the beer industry is that brewers really like t-shirts and hats.
We don't want them to have to buy their clothes. We'll just go ahead and do that for them. So yeah, and Morian t-shirts too. That's coming up. That logo is looking really nice on a dark background because we've got that kind of nice bright golden color that really mimics the, you know, what you see when you're drinking a lager beer. So
if I remember from my sneak peek of the Lorien label, its tagline is a music reference as well. What is that?
Yeah. So, okay. Let me think. Festive fiddle. So if you're thinking about just kind of that Tolkien, to me, it reminds me of the Hobbits and how many meals they love to have, and it's just an all-day affair. And so that's what we're going for with Lorien, is this beer that you can just grab and enjoy throughout the day.
Well, amazing. We're definitely looking forward to getting this year's crop over as quick as we can, and then definitely looking forward to getting some of the new stuff to some of our customers and see what they think about it. Hopefully some of these new hops will start trickling in over the next year or so, especially with IH002, and then get more people turned on to Lorien. So
I already love
the product.
I'm getting excited. You know, I just want to just taste these myself. Yeah. I just want all for me.
Going through like our Instagram feed on a regular basis can be dangerous, right? Because I'm just looking at beautiful beer shot after beautiful beer shot, and it just makes me want to taste a beer. But no, it's so exciting. It was really fun being in the fields with Jim and Matt, our new guy, Joey, and then our hot breeder, Sean Townsend, who is from Oregon State, and just being in the advanced nurseries and seeing some of these hops, smelling some of these hops, and thinking about, oh my gosh, this hop could be, you know, the next new hop that we launch, and what is it going to do in beer, and what consumer is it going to resonate with, and what brewers are going to get excited about it? Because I think different brewers seem to gravitate toward brewing different beers, right, that they're more passionate about. And so that's part of the fun is seeing how it kind of takes off in its own organic fashion in the market.
Absolutely. Well, I'm like Philip. I'm looking forward to getting new beers with new hop flavors. I'm weary of every beer tasting like Citra, Simcoe, and Mosaic. So bring some new ones to us, and it's going to be great.
Yeah. We're on it.
Perfect.
So how do we? Sorry, this is probably off the subject. We're going to edit this out later.
Yeah.
Is it possible to get a seed? I'd love to grow like a plant just in my room. Like a little hop.
Oh, you bet.
Lorian Estrada. Send me a seed. Can you send me a seed?
I'll
keep a secret, promise.
I won't give it to you. I'll have to see if it can be Lorian Estrada. I don't know.
I said the top secret anyway, the seeds, right?
But I did get a packet of seeds from Sean the other day. I don't know what seeds they were, but just for our new website, we've been doing some photography, talking about wordsmithing and wordcrafting my brain. That's what I've been doing, right? Is dealing with word count and making sure that I'm saying things in a concise way. But we'll see what we can do to get some seeds over to you as well as some.
That'd be interesting to document as well, just to see kind of germinating and maybe the first leaves. I wonder what it looks. I never seen a plant, because I've just heard so much about hops. I've seen photos of and the develop, but I never actually had that little, you know, see it like germinate and like grow from a thing, over a period of time. I'd say that'd be a nice experience. But
are beautiful. The hop plants are just, they're seriously mesmerizing. They have these beautiful, the leaves are beautiful. The cones as they develop, they start kind of looking like a really delicate flower almost. And then the cones start to develop. And then it's really interesting that depending on the variety, how diverse it can be, what the hop cone looks like, I think that there are probably some really amazing flavors in hop cones that maybe have bracts that aren't very pickable, right? That you just can't bring to the market commercially.
Sorry. You were saying to us that you were building a new website. Is there something specific you want to get across?
We've embarked on also building a new website, just to really tying into our documentary and really getting the story of who we are, our hop development efforts, everyone that's involved out there. And so that website will be launched officially toward the end of September. And that's where our documentary will reside. We'll also get you guys a link so that you can share that as well. And we're just continuing to be excited about telling the story of who we are, what we do, and of course, telling the story about our hops. It's really a fun part of it.
Yeah, it's very special. And I can see naturally that it's just going to just gain a lot of traction. And, we're so happy, I think, myself, Will, that we're part of this journey. And we can't wait to support Indie Hops any way we can along all the steps.
Thank you. It's really fun. I think it's really cool because it's, I think everyone that we work with brings just their own passion and in such a really unique way. And so it definitely is like we're all on this journey together, and it's fun to see where it's going to go. And knowing that I think a huge part of what, Jim and Roger have tried to do with Indie Hops is long-term. Right? We're looking at the long term and in, whether it's, relationships with growers, distributors, our customers, we're in it for the long haul and fun to go on that path together.
Absolutely. And salmon safe as well. Sustainable practices that we touched on before.
I think that the more that we're seeing the effects of climate change, the more that having hops that are being bred to hopefully withstand some of the pressures that climate change is putting on the plants is super important. And, you know, being able to do it in a manner that, you know, we're and how is it going to be a plant that thrives on their farm? And so that's something that we're thinking about every year, whether it's, you know, wind or smoke or heat or whatever.
Yeah, and I think it's with climate change, it's like farmers would view wildfires or heat waves as a thing that happens every now and then. But like really have to start approaching it from these are things we can expect, and we need to change our practices to deal with that. And that's just the way life is. Like these things are going to happen constantly.
Yeah. And part of the cool thing, and part of what we're so excited about, is Sean Townsend, the plant breeder who's on point for our program. He really got into commercial agriculture because that is one of the things that he's personally passionate about, right? So he wanted to lower the commercial or the impacts that we have from an environmental standpoint on our planet. And so it's really cool to see that he's taken that onus on himself. And with Strata, it's a hop that consistently, when we're talking with our growers, is one that has the lowest chemical input requirements, right? And so those are things that really matter. It's also a hop that with this, you know, heat dome that we just went through has through that stress point. And so I think it's really just a cool thing, because we're like, you know, like I was talking about before, we're starting kind of at the DNA of the plant, and that has a lot of impact on what that plant does when it's at the stage of being grown at the farm.
I bet there was a giant sigh of relief in the Indy Hops camp after the heat dome that everything made it okay. Cause I guess it was kind of the first test that Strata ever really had. Am I correct?
Yeah. It really, really was. But that's what we're trying to do. Get those really strong, vigorous varieties out there so that they can really know what.
Yeah, great. I mean, we're very adaptable as in general as like a species, and it's great to see like clever people coming into this society and like, you know, having these steps and going towards a sustainable beer industry, because we love this product and it's never going to stop. We just have to figure out a way, you know, in general, we all like things that we're doing, but we just have to do them so we don't have such a big impact on the environment. And I think, like you mentioned it there, the Strata has that.
Yeah.
You don't have to, it has low impact.
Well, Anca, thanks for joining us today. It's been fantastic talking to you at the end of our day and the beginning of your day. I'm sure you've got a lot more to get to with building websites and launching documentaries and helping name rad new hops and all of that jazz. So definitely thanks for joining us. Can't wait to get this episode out into the public and then start getting a fresh crop Strata and Lorien over in the next few weeks. So thank you very
much.
And we'll see everybody next time.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Bye.
Yeah.